The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thursday, there I am. Happy Thursday. Welcome in to the Bruce Hooley Show. I'm Jack Windsor, editor-in-chief of the Ohio Press Network, host of the Windsor Report, which you can listen to here during your drive time, 5 to 6 p.m. And in just a moment, I'm going to bring in Dr. Glenn Dewar, but I want you to hear something first. What you hear there are a group of protesters. I'm certain there are paid agitators there as well, on the campus of Columbia University, shouting down Speaker Mike Johnson. He was there with a group of lawmakers to talk with the president of Columbia University for what he says is the inability for the institution to protect its Jewish students. But I want you to hear it. And the reason I want you to hear it is because you're going to hear it a lot in the days and weeks ahead. I talked about this for the better part of a year. It's coming, not only on campuses. You're probably going to hear it in your communities. I expect roadways to be blocked. There could even be some the climate cult wackos, I think, mixed in with these folks. But I'm fired up today. And I'm fired up because I'm going through the top stories of the day, and about 40% of them involve this, these protests, which, by the way, I'm a huge believer in the First Amendment, so make no mistake about that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the reason that I want Dr. Glenn Dewar to join us is that it's really hard to understand and discern the truth. So without further ado, let's bring him in. Dr. Glenn Dewar, he is a professor of international studies, chair of the government and history department at Cedarville University, and he joins us now to bring some clarity to some confusing situations. Dr. Dewar, thanks for agreeing to be with me today on such short notice.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So I'm going to try to tee it up this way. As I mentioned, there are a lot of today's top stories are just rife with what's going on our campuses. I'm flipping through a news article from a progressive blog in Columbus, which frankly is probably more of a communist journal. And I see phrases like apartheid system, segregation and racial inequality, talking about how Israel is occupying Gaza and the West Bank. And I sent you a text today and I felt stupid. So I'm going to ask these questions at the risk of being stupid on air to you to explain it to me, and hopefully we'll all learn something. Let me start at the basic level. With the flags in the protest, it appears that Palestine is actually a state or a country. So my first question is, what is Palestine?
The first thing to say is it's hugely, hugely complex. But the state of Palestine is not a member state of the United Nations. There are 193. Israel is one, and it is recognized by a lot of countries in the world since its declaration of independence on May the 14th, 1948. And we, the United States, and many of our allies followed. And Israel has been a member state of the UN ever since. But the state of Palestine is not a member, and that is why you will sometimes see the hashtag 194 or Palestine 194 for it to become a formal member state of the UN. But it is complicated because the state of Palestine is recognized in organs of the UN or committees of the UN like UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. So it does have recognition. It does play in a lot of the major sporting competitions, it could hypothetically qualify for a soccer World Cup and things of that nature. So it's complicated. Around two-thirds of the world's countries do recognize a state of Palestine, but it is not a country according to the UN system.
Okay. So here's my second dummy question, and please forgive me, and thank you for explaining that. What makes up Israel then? What comprises the country, or you might call it a state, but the country of Israel?
Yes, the state of Israel is roughly the size of New Jersey, so it's a good U.S. comparison. But we also have two Palestinian territories, Gaza, that has been autonomous since 2005, and unfortunately run by the brutal terrorist organization Hamas since 2006. And then the West Bank that was effectively won by Israel in the 1967 war. But it is very complicated as to its governance. There are areas A, B, and C. And to go back to the progressive blog and its argument of an apartheid state, it will use this as reasoning. My pushback to that is that Israel provides significant security in those areas to make sure that it can run well. And it has given a significant amount of economic resources. And prior to October the 7th, 140,000 Palestinians West Bank would travel daily into Israel to work, make money, feed their families, etc. So it has been a good relationship, but it is also a strange one. There are a lot of oddities to it as well.
So, and this is where it might get even more complex, depending on who you listen to. Some, for example, lawmakers who get microphones and have the opportunity to be on camera would say the full story here is that Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, make no mistake about that, oftentimes is so interwoven into Palestine that it's hard to distinguish, and that they intentionally use civilians, women, children, the elderly, whomever, as a shield for their terrorist activity. What would you say to that, Dr. Duer?
There's a lot of truth to that. When I was last in Israel in 2018, we were traveling around looking at geopolitical and biblical sites, and Hamas allowed Palestinian Islamic Jihad, another terrorist organization, to lob about 2 to 3 dozen mortars into southern Israel. And with frequency, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and a range of other terrorist organizations will often hide a lot of their armaments, rocket launches, etc., in places like hospitals, schools, administrative buildings, and use a lot of human shields. And when Israel strikes back, often with surgical precision, unfortunately, there are casualties. And sometimes this is the propaganda that Hamas uses as pushback. It is hugely complicated as an overall system and history. But the Palestinians have, on multiple occasions, had the opportunity to create a state. It just would require recognizing Israel's boundaries, and it has since 1937 with the Peel Commission, and even prior to that, rejected everything. And even with some really good negotiations and Israel giving the Palestinians most of what they want, that has not happened either. And so that is one of the challenges. In the West Bank, it is technically governed by another group called Fatah. They are no angels by any means, but they're a lot better than Hamas. But as you mentioned, Hamas has infiltrated a lot of different areas. Sometimes distinguishing Fatah from Hamas is very difficult. And it's also to say that Hamas stirs up significant dissension in the West Bank to cause problems. Some of the progressive blogs, for example, heavily critique what they call an apartheid wall.
Yep.
That Israel has built along its periphery on parts of the West Bank. And I should clarify that the wall comprises 6% of the border. The other 94% is a fence. And the reason why the wall was constructed is because a terrorist walked from the West Bank area to the city of Netanya. It's about 8 miles. It's the most narrow waistband from the West Bank to the Mediterranean. And he detonated a bomb in the basement of the Park Hotel and killed over 30 while Israelis were celebrating a Jewish holiday. And so for Israel to be secure, it has this wall in place. But as I mentioned earlier, some 140,000 Palestinians would cross daily, and there was, prior to October the 7th, a pretty decent relationship between Israelis and Palestinians in the West Bank. One final note I should add is that of Israel's population, 21% of them are Arabs, and they do coexist generally decently in Israel. Some 17% are Muslim. The remainder are Christian Arabs there.
Okay. I'm going to ask you another tough question. Can you stick with me for about 7 minutes on the other side of this break? Because I have more questions, and I don't know who else to ask. Do you have time?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Hey, stay tuned. I'm talking with Dr. Glenn Dewar of Cedarville University about Israel, about Hamas, about Palestine. And I'm going to show you my cards right now, Dr. Dewar, and I'll let you answer on the other side of this break. I've heard you say that part of the struggle is for Palestine to recognize Israel's boundaries. And I go, well, why aren't they doing that? If that would be something that would help bring more peace and stability. And then the second issue I have that nobody wants to write about is, hey, there are still captives. There are still people who are being held hostage that if they're let go, we might see more peace. Okay, fresh off that clip from Columbia University, where U.S. Speaker Mike Johnson addressed a crowd after talking with the president there, claiming that she's not doing enough to protect Jewish students. I play that again because you're going to hear a lot of it, and we're going to get out in front of it. I have with me great friend of the show, Dr. Glenn Dewar. Before we went to break, we talked about Palestine, Israel, and what is Palestine? What is Israel? And one of the things that Dr. Dewar said was Palestine doesn't recognize the boundaries of Israel. Dumb question. Why not?
There's an extensive history to it, but the assertion is that Arabs should control the land, and that since the mandate of the Ottoman Empire that dates back centuries, that that is the what they believe to be the rightful possession. We should note from the Old Testament that there's been a Jewish presence in that area for several thousand years. And while it has oscillated over time between different empires, there has always been some presence of Jews there. And as discussions were made under the British, which took over from the Ottoman Empire at the end of World War I, the promise was made under the Balfour Declaration to give Israel eventually a state side by side with Arabs. It then moved to a more formal negotiation under what's called the Peel Commission in 1937 that was rejected, and the UN had a partition plan in 1947, but the basis is that Palestinians should control a much wider swath of the territory than they currently have. Israel then very successfully defended itself. I mentioned the Declaration of Independence on May the 14th, 1948, prior to the break, but then virtually every surrounding, predominantly Arab country invaded Israel. And over the course of the next 18 or so months, Israel won, surprised everyone, and established itself. And as a result of that, its borders from the UN partition plan expanded. And one of the Palestinian complaints is, and this goes back to 1948, so think about that numerically, There are some 5 million Palestinians that live in neighboring Arab countries that demand houses and land back from that war. And so that is an ongoing sticking point as to why a state of Palestine will not recognize a state of Israel and sit side by side together, among other complex issues.
Okay. So when we hear from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, they're already free, aren't they?
To some extent, yes, and to some extent, no. Under areas A, B, and C, as I mentioned earlier, the Israelis have a significant security presence in place. That is partly to help the Palestinians because there have been very restive issues and also concerns in the area. But it is a challenging issue in the aftermath of several wars that have attempted to wipe out Israelis. But indeed, there is significant autonomy, especially in the cities. If we think of Jenin and Nablus and Ramallah, Hebron, and the birthplace of Jesus, Bethlehem, those are all under full Palestinian control, and that's where the majority of the people live in the West Bank. But again, there is a much broader issue with the security situation. So it's very complicated on the ground, but Israel, living side by side with the West Bank, has raised the standard of living there. But as I've noted, the Palestinians have rejected a lot of peace negotiations. We can think of the Clinton years, culminating in 2000 at Camp David. There was a strong negotiation. It was rejected. The Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert gave the Palestinians virtually everything that they wanted, including land swaps to get around this housing issue. That was rejected. President Trump came up with a plan, if you recall, in 2020 that added a lot of very novel opportunities for the Palestinians and to create really the potential for a stronger economy, especially in Gaza. That too was rejected. And so at some point it becomes very difficult to give the Palestinians full autonomy when they won't accept an agreement. And maybe Israel could go further. Maybe it could do more. Maybe it could give a few more percentages here and there. But at some point, the Palestinians have to be serious about saying yes and recognizing a state of Israel.
Okay, we only have about 2 minutes here. How many people do you think have heard unpacked to them what you just unpacked here in these first two segments? How aware do you think Americans are of what really goes on there and how it's been bastardized in the press now?
I will say that it's a hugely, hugely complex issue. It's taken me significant travels around Israel and through the Palestinian territory of the West Bank to understand this. I've been thankful myself to hear many good lectures, but it's there's a ton of information and a massive amount of history. And it just in our news cycle, there are very few shows like yours that will unpack these types of things in longer segments. Usually it's very kind of quick sound bites. There are some good videos on YouTube, things of that nature that will give a more in-depth presentation. But I'm thankful to shows like yours and others like it that will take this time, because that's what's needed to really drill down and get below the surface, at least a little bit. Again, there's a lot more to all of this.
Absolutely. And we'll continue to unpack it. And look, I'm a proponent of one of the things that I've heard from pro-Palestinians. We can't have this knee-jerk association that defending the rights of Palestinians is anti-Semitic, but at the same time, we can't absolve them of responsibility for what you just shared, refusing to acknowledge boundaries, refusing to take a bunch that they've been given, and frankly, refusing to acknowledge that terrorists and their weaponry are embedded into their civilization, into their, you know, everyday places. Those are important facts that don't get shared. Dr. Duerr, we'll have you back next week to talk more about this. This is going to be an ongoing discussion. Thank you for spending time with us today on The Bruce Hooley Show. I deeply appreciate it, man. Can't wait to have you back next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite, and have a great day to you and your listeners.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for listening to 98.9 FM, The Answer. Jack Windsor in the chair for Bruce Hooley today. Up next, DJ Swearingen will be here to talk about his parents' Bill of Rights. Stay tuned for that.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.